It's the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge, kitchen and bath showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
I got a $50 gift certificate right now in my hot little hand for Builder Supply Outlet. 312-981-7200, 19th caller. 312-981-7200. Home of the Edge, state-of-the-art kitchen and bath showroom. You just heard the guy say that, but I'm going to say it again.
It's worth repeating.
Yeah.
Very cool prize.
Checking in at
number 5.
Chicago poet, hip-hop star, writer, teacher, mentor, Che Rhymefest Smith. Robbed at gunpoint in Bronzeville early Saturday morning. Three-time Grammy winner.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, he made that point.
He made that very clear. And one I would, too, by the way, if I won three Grammys.
Three Grammys, an Oscar, and a Golden Globe. But, you know, who's counting? Was nearly thrown out of a police station when he went to go make a report.
What did the supervisor say?
He should ask you to leave.
Why?
Because you weren't given the information that we needed to take your report.
What information do you need?
Okay. Sir,
what information do you need? I would like to give you the information to report that I've been robbed this morning.
So he was on the program with us, mm-hmm. and he told his side of the story. Just in that podcast, by the way, is up at WGNradio.com.
It's chilling, the moments especially describing how he really felt that might be the end for him. When the guy got into his car and pointed a gun in his direction.
And, you know, he went immediately to the police station. And so here he is just minutes after the incident of having a gun put to his face, thinking he was going to die. And then he told us something he's not told anybody else, is that he was, you know, the night before he was feeling badly about himself and some other things. And he was thinking about his own mortality, essentially. Mm-hmm. And then, boom, he's right there, you know, in a car being held up at gunpoint. And he thought he manifested it because of the way he was thinking about himself. So this is a fascinating moment. So his mindset is one of, you know, near death. And he goes in and he's met with what he believes is indifference by the police when he gets there. And it set him off and it set them off. And it's going to the essential miscommunication here. Whereas we're not going to get anywhere. We're not going to get beyond. We're having the most violent, pound for pound, the most violent year in Chicago history, in mm-hmm. modern Chicago history, happening right now. And we're not going to get anywhere here unless the sides of the citizens who want to do the right thing and the police who, in most cases, want to and in all cases have to mm-hmm. do the right thing get together and understand each other on a better level. And you know, I'm generally a very, very staunch supporter of police, and I put my money where my mouth is there. Mm-hmm. I do not. This is one of those cases where you can see where the bureaucracy and the indifference and the attempt to avoid agitation by those workers in that police district that morning were met with the. I mean, we're not getting anywhere here, and I know it's horrifying, and the jobs of police officers are very, very,
not easy.
Very, very difficult. But these are people who are working. These folks that morning were not on the street. They were on those desks, and they needed to behave differently than they did.
Oh my God! It struck me when I saw it that this cannot be the only time this happens, and at a time when our police department is under Department of Justice investigation for potential civil rights abuses and the treatment of civilians. And when they're trying to reach out and be partners with the community, and that's what we know is one of the steps on both sides. The community has to step up and the cops have to step up to be partners. This is not reassuring to see this kind of a relationship.
And I want to, you know what, it's interesting. I know you bring up the grander thing about the civil rights and federal investigations and all that. Let's take that away because that is such a, those are a limited number of incidents. This is a very common incident of what just occurred.
Well, I don't know that you
right?
can, because I think they're talking about something that might be systemic, and that's why the Department of Justice is involved. It isn't just the Laquan McDonald situation, that there might be other issues within the department.
But what that issue right there doesn't rise to the level of a civil rights violation. It rises to the level of customer contact, essentially. And
but it has to do with relationships with civilians. Right, that's
which is
why
my point,
they're involved.
Which is my point. So we have to look at this is a simpler thing, and I think when we put it in too dramatic of a context, people's minds shut. This is a standard operating thing that happens. This is happening in districts throughout the city right now, right? There's people going in to report something, a stolen car, stolen something.
And you can only imagine that this isn't the only time this is happening. That's where my mind went. I mean, how can it not? It seemed as if he's having this experience, aren't there others?
Right.
And that's when you think about we have the highest murder rate in the city and one of the lowest clearance rates in the highest murder rate in the country and one of the lowest murder rates in the country, 46%. You've got to have the community and police
clearance rates. Murder working. Clearance rates is the second number, right?
46%.
Right.
One of the lowest in the country. And so you've got to have citizens cooperating with police and vice versa. That's one right. of the reasons they said the Dwayne Wade Cousins murder was solved because police and community worked together on that. The community saw this was a high profile individual's relative and came forward, whereas in other cases they may not. And I understand the retribution and all that, but at the end of the day, if people feel as if this is the reception they get from police, that they're then treated in this way, you kind of understand a little bit more that it's much more complex than just gang retaliation as one of the reasons why people don't come forward.
Here's what Eddie Johnson, Chicago Police Superintendent, said.
As far as the officer goes, Chief of Patrol is investigating the situation, and he will handle it accordingly. And if discipline is necessary, then it will be meted out. Now, as far as I know, it's just the one officer in the video. Listen, I was disappointed with what I saw. I don't know what happened prior to the recording, but listen, I expect Chicago Police Department personnel to treat people professionally and respectfully all the time. It doesn't matter who it is, but that's what I expect. So I was a little disappointed when I saw the video.
All right. Checking in at
number four.
Donald Trump trying to court the African-American vote. Insert laughter here.
Still?
Today, he tweeted out, quote, African-Americans will vote for Trump because they know I will stop the slaughter going on. Exclamation point. How do we know that? How is one supposed to know that? And I like how he refers to vote for Trump.
Mm-hmm. Well, you heard the superintendent, Eddie Johnson, say, if you've got the magic wand, if you know how to solve it, we'd like to listen to it. Remember when he promised in a week I could solve?
Well, he said he talked to somebody who said he knew how to solve it, but then was Trump was asked by Bill O'Reilly, well, what was the solution? Trump was, I don't know.
He said, I can't tell you.
I can't tell you. I don't know. Well, what was it? Well, I didn't ask him because I'm not the mayor of Chicago. That's what Trump said about the cop. He said from Chicago, we told him how he would solve the violence problem here in a week. But, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the point was that Mike Pence, hardest working man in show business right now, was out in Georgia trying to explain.
Donald Trump is going to fight every day to make America great again for every American, regardless of race or creed or color. I promise you that. If you want a president who will upend the status quo in Washington, D.C., and uphold the Constitution of the United States of America, then Georgia, I'll tell you what, you have but one choice, and that man is ready.
Oh, I like one of those things, like a voice stress analyzer, like a lie detector on him at all times when he's having to say these things. Because you know Mike Pence doesn't believe a word of that. He does believe.
He's got a tough job.
The only part he did believe is, you want a guy who's going to interrupt the system? Oh, boy. Woo! We got one right here. Yeah, I got a doozy for you. You want to upend the status quo? Oh, yep. We'll get that done.
He's a great tap dancer.
Yeah. All right. We will get to your 3, your 2, and your 1. But first, Violetta's got the WGN traffic trouble spots.
Weekday mornings, it has everything you need to know and some things you just need to see. WGN-TV Morning News, Chicago's must-watch morning news.
Top 5 at 5 continues. Checking in at
number 3.
San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick. Colin, did I call him Colin?
Yes, you did.
I was in
some
colon
people
pal-
would not object to that.
Yes,
yeah,
so, no, he's acting like a colon, I can tell you that right now. Or at least what's at the end of one.
Yeah.
He's well known for his scrambling on the football field, but now he's dodging an off-field controversy. Mm-hmm. See what the writers of the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis did right there?
Clever.
Very.
Yeah, he didn't stand up for the national anthem. He went and he sat down on the bench. He's an angry young man.
Wait, multiple times, Kev? Wasn't it?
Well, he says he's going to continue to do it.
He did it.
It started last weekend.
Yeah.
Friday night.
Now he's like, hey, you guys are mad at me. Now, now we're really going to do it. He's one of those guys who looks totally different with his helmet on than off.
He does.
He really does.
Yeah.
He seems to have a different look every few weeks, too. I'm like, who? You can't even recognize him. He's got a new haircut, a new tattoo. And he may not even have this platform in a week or so. Because he may not even make the 49ers roster.
Right. He may not.
They may cut him by Saturday.
Now, here's the thing. You want to know the truth about this? I think he did this because he knows he could get cut. And he wants to create controversy around him so that if he does get cut, he gets to say, hey, look at what they did. Because they owe him all this money.
Oh, a lot.
And if they cut him, they don't have to pay him, right?
They don't?
A percentage of the – it's all sort of whatever the language is in the contract, whatever's guaranteed. They have to pay him – whatever's guaranteed within the deal.
I think only the signing bonuses in the NFL are guaranteed, right?
Yeah, but they'll spread those out, throughout three or 4 years or so.
All right, but the remaining money is not – they cut them. They don't pay them.
Right, correct.
So they can save some money.
It's not like baseball where if no matter what you sign, that's what you get. It's not like that in the NFL.
Just like radio. That's right. All right, here we go. Here's what happened, though. In a press conference, I don't know if it's really a press conference. Is it a press conference? He was standing there.
Like a post-game review?
Yeah, locker room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is because I'm seeing things happen to people that don't have a voice, people that don't have a platform to talk and have their voices heard and affect change. You can become a cop in 6 months and don't have to have the same amount of training as a cosmetologist. That's insane. I mean... Someone that's holding a curling iron has more education and more training than people that have a gun and are going out on the street to protect us.
That is not true. This is not true. I mean, maybe from all cops, right?
Yeah.
I saw Paul Blart. I think that might be true. But, I mean, for police officers, trained police officers, sworn, no.
I don't know about in all communities, but
no,
not here.
No, it's a misunderstanding. However, thank God. Listen to this, Anna.
Uh-huh.
Charlie Sheen has weighed in.
Oh, good.
Colin Kaepernick, I get both sides.
Do you support what he did there?
Oh, yeah.
Classic Charlie Sheen.
Classic. I mean, we've seen athletes do things like this before, and it just sort of brings up the conversation about the First Amendment and race dialogue, and then that's it. We move on, and everybody forgets about Colin Kaepernick. So...
Especially San Francisco 49er fans. Yeah. I don't know. I don't. He's impinging upon his teammates' ability to get through the rest of the preseason without a major distraction. He becomes now the distraction of the team because of this, and then they all are forced to react to him publicly and privately, and. Mm-hmm. And this is a team that's got its own problems. And I don't think
We can just roll with that. I think a lot of people would be on board with it.
Colin Kaepernick. I don't know why. I mean, I don't think he's going to change the world. I don't think he's of standing to change the world. I think what happened with Rhymefest is a far more significant thing. And it's getting as much airplay nationally as Colin is right now.
He did come out in his first interview since that and said, I have great respect for the men and women of the military. I'm standing up for something I believe is larger than that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's
my own contract. That's what which is like,
I don't know. Yeah.
Staying relevant within the National Football League.
Yeah, exactly. Checking in at
number two.
I came here to present my new video. But before I do that, I'm a talk.
Oh, God.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God. Last night at the VMAs.
Were you watching? I was bracing myself as he said before that, I'm going to talk. I thought, oh, no.
The producer said, hey, you got 4 minutes. Do whatever you want.
But if you think about last week, it was 22 people murdered in Chicago. You know, like, people coming to me like, man, that's right. Taylor. Bro, like, I love all y'all. That's why I called her.
See, I didn't understand. He looked like he started to make a point about the violence in Chicago, which, remember, he's from the communities where a lot of this is happening. And I didn't seem like he went anywhere with it after that.
Well, this is what's scaring me.
Hmm.
I understood what he meant.
You did?
Yeah.
What did he mean there?
I speak Kanye. I speak Yeezy.
Okay.
Yay.
Why don't you explain it
I speak yay. He was saying 22 people got shot or killed or whatever he said there. I don't think he's got the numbers right, but whatever. We get the point. And people are talking to him about Taylor Swift. That's not the point. He loves like the entertainment industry. He hates the violence. I think that's what yay yay meant.
Bro, I didn't know you speak yay.
I speak yay. Dude!
Oh. Is that what you got from it, Kev?
Yeah, that's what I got from it.
I'm just imagining a Ryan Lochte Kanye conversation with Ro moderating the
I'd love to see that.
Conversation.
And then Donald Trump jumps in.
That could be a good surreal life.
My role models are artists, merchants. There's less than 10 that I can name in history. Truman, Ford, Hughes, Disney, Jobs, West.
Oh, my God. Dude, what do you mean? Where are we going? We're going west? Where?
What defines west. Ryan Lochte? Ryan Lochte.
My hair. He put himself right in the middle of that. He didn't put himself with Jesus, though. He didn't mention Jesus in that moment,
surprised.
Which is very good.
I thought that was coming.
Felt pretty good about it.
Great career.
So, in other words, I understand what he meant. Yeah.
You and Kanye.
I do think that Kanye is a genius in his own way. He's just nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But that's part of the thing.
That is part of the thing.
That's just
why
part
his music
of the thing.
Is brilliant, but sometimes when he speaks, it's not always palatable. Some
I think
of it
a
is.
Lot of his music has been brilliant. This last album, I do not understand a thing that happened on it. I do not. Maybe in 20 years I'll understand it. But at this moment, I'm like, what is he trying to do?
I think you guys are throwing around the word brilliant loosely here.
I know. Oh, I don't know. I mean, there's some stuff he did that is pretty... he changed hip-hop forever. Changed the direction. He bumped it and changed it. And that's an entire genre of music. And he knows it. That's part of the problem. And he married a Kardashian, so he became a Kardashian. Yeah.
Kim Yee.
Yeah. All right. And we'll just play one clip here. Gene Wilder checks in at...
Number one.
Gene Wilder, who regularly stole the show in The Producers, Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
And you'll be in a world of pure imagination.
He's dead at the age of 83.
And you'll see into your imagination.
His nephew, Jordan Walker Perlman, says he died of the complications of Alzheimer's.
With a spin traveling in the world of my creation, what we'll see will defy explanation.
Mel Brooks says he's one of the truly great talents of the century. Gene Wilder was 83.
The top five at five.